Welcome back to another episode of Inside Boxing Live. It is Dan Canovio. It is Chris Algieri. We're in your ear holes and on YouTube every single week, twice a week, powered by PPV.com. Go out and order Jake Paul versus Mike Perry. Platinum Mike Perry. Is he going to do the thing? Is he going to knock out Jake Paul? I'll be there in Tampa. Chris is shaking his head no. I'm going to be there in Tampa. I'm heading out on Thursday for my 10-day excursion as a Florida man, all thanks to PPV.com. No subscriptions. Stream it to your phone. Stream it to your tablet. Stream it to your TV. Stream it everywhere. PPV.com is our presenting sponsor, and they are have a big-time lineup of fights coming up for the rest of the year. Platinum Mike Perry versus Jake Paul is the next one that you can order on PPV.com. I will be out there. Chris, are you ready for me to come to Florida and be a Florida man for 10 days? Come back with a face tattoo.
Face tattoo? Wow. I mean, you're going to come back with a red face like I have right now from getting all the sun. Yeah, I got a little too much sun yesterday. But yeah, dude, we're ready for you, man. Come on down to the Sunshine State.
Yes, Tampa begins for a weekend, and then we're all hopping on the MVP. I wish it was like a chartered a helicopter. I know Jake has a helicopter.
We can set that up. I know some people.
Well, I would take a Blade, but the Blade is what they have here in New York City, which I thought was kind of cool, like to do that once. Blade from the city to like West Hamptons.
Yeah,
it's like an Uber of the sky.
Dude, that traffic, that Hamptons traffic, man.
If I had impressed someone, if I was like hit up a date and I was like, hey, you want to go to the Hamptons? Got on a Blade.
What kind of girls are you taking out on dates, bro?
Yeah, I know. I got to stop. Can't lead. If you lead with money, this is some advice for those out there. You lead with money, you're setting yourself up for failure.
I had this conversation actually. Whatever ground you give up, you never get back with ladies. So you really got to set the precedent early on. And if you're going to set a precedent with a high dollar mark like that, you're never getting that back, buddy.
Helicopters every time, because that second trip to the Hamptons when you're in a car and you're schlepping it.
Yeah, then you start to learn who each other are. And then,
That's bad. Some dating advice here to lead off the show. But yeah, we're going from Tampa to Orlando, and then Orlando for the MVP, Most Valuable Prospect show, which is on the 26th. Of July. But on the 20th, it's Mike Perry versus Jake Paul. Amanda Serrano is in action. Ashton Silva, who is a nice looking prospect that was supposed to fight Floyd Schofield, is fighting on this card as well.
I remember. I thought that was, that would have been something. I was surprised that they were fighting that early in their careers.
I know. Apparently, they're still going to keep that for November if the Tyson Paul fight happens. Also, Uriah Hall versus Chavez Jr. is going down on this card. So
Uriah's a cool New York guy.
So I've heard. I'm interested to talk to him.
He's a good dude. He's a good dude. Tell him I said what's up.
I will. Should be a fun trip out in Tampa. Let's get to the program. The big fight this weekend was Jaron Boots Ennis, who picked up another stoppage. His return to the ring has been out for over a year. His first fight with Matchroom. His homecoming fight, they had a packed out Wells Fargo Arena. That's where the Flyers play. It's where the Sixers play. Awesome scenes out of Philadelphia. Great to see Boots in there. I thought he looked outstanding. I thought he looked just powerful. I thought he looked just a lot of speed. You know, props to David Avanesian. I mean, this guy took the fight on short notice. This is a guy that was in the ring with Crawford. And this is a guy that's now been in the ring with Boots Ennis. Boots gets it done a round earlier than Crawford. Pieces him up in ways that Crawford did not, but Boots and Crawford don't exactly fight the same. Would you agree with that, Chris? But anyway, what'd you make of Boots? I thought it was a good performance. I thought it was just good to get him back in there. Like, just get in there. Just like with Virgil Ortiz. Get in there, get rounds, and now we can start fantasizing about him fighting some of the bigger names.
Listen, we love Boots on here. Anyone who really has their ear to the ground for boxing and is like a true diehard likes Boots. He's a fantastic talent. He's a guy that a lot of casuals don't know yet. So any kind of exposure that he can get, which I think this Matchroom deal is a very good move for him. It was kind of interesting to see that he went that route, but they have a great promotional arm. The way they put together videos and highlights and setting things up, the fact that they're bringing him home to Philly, it's all the right moves for a guy like Boots at 27 years old, who still has a lot of a lot of time to do some amazing things. You know, he's pre-prime. Like, his prime is going to be like 28, 29, 30, 31. You know, like, he's going into his prime with the right kind of promotional arm behind him. So I like that. And Avanesyan was, like we spoke about on our last show, it was a litmus test to see how he was going to fare against a former Terrence Crawford opponent. The questions after the fight were always all about Crawford. So, you know, that's what's to be expected. But I thought he looked good. It was very workmanlike. He didn't go out there and I don't think he fought his best fight. And he definitely didn't fight a bad fight. But he got hit. He got touched up. You know, he was in there with David Anastasian is a very, 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 very tough guy. And up until the Crawford fight, was super durable. He was shown to be super durable, very, very strong, very, very rough, and would beat you know, prospects. He would beat guys that were on the way up oftentimes, more often than not. And then Crawford ices him with one punch. So, but this is to be expected. You expected Boots to go out there and tune him up. But, man, did he really tune him up. He busted his whole face up.
Yeah.
He was very, very dominant. I agree with you. I think he looked good.
Oh, yeah, he looked good. I mean, anyone out there looking to poke holes is just looking to poke holes just to do that. We will do that because that's what we do in the media. That's what we do on the show. We try to find the good and some things that he needs to work on. But the good is outstanding. Like, he is so fast. He is so quick. Like, his speed jumps off the screen. His size jumps off the screen. Right? He looked like a 168-pounder. He made Avanesyan look tiny in there.
Have you met Boots?
Yes, briefly. I never interviewed him, but I just passed him. Like, he was at some Vegas fight. Like, he's huge, and he looks.
Yeah, I met him on an OTX show, and shook hands with him. First of all, his hands are huge and heavy. He's got heavy hands. Like, listen, you shake some guy's hands, and you're like, all right, that's like a brick. I remember the first time I met Zab Judah back in like the late 2000, you know, 7, 8, something like that. Yeah. I remember shaking hands with him, like giving him a pound and being like, wow, that thing that's a brick. And I felt the same way with Boots, except he's big. He's got big hands. Cause Zab's a very small guy. Like, Zab was like a very, you know, very tight, you know, body, small guy. Boots is big. Boots is all of my size. He's got wide shoulders. He's tall. Like, I'm in terms of size, I'm saying my size. He's my height. I'm 5'11". And he's got wide shoulders, big hands, big, big dude. And he looked big in the ring.
He could go, like, they're talking about, obviously, like, 147 is where he wants to campaign. It's where he has campaigned. But, like, a 154, 160, 168, I don't think is out of the realm of possibility. Not, like, anytime soon. No. But, like, he could progress up there. But, like, 168 could be the ceiling for him because of, you know, he has a 74-inch reach. Yeah. He just has, like, those raw skills. Like, if you wanted to show someone, like, a highlight clip, like, on Instagram, yo, like, who's next in boxing? Like, guys are just sitting at the barbershop or just hanging out. Oh, check out this guy, Boots. And you show him the highlights of last night's – what?
It's Boots, yeah. Who's the next up?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And you show him a highlight reel. You're looking at that, and you're seeing speed. You're seeing power. He throws everything with bad intentions, and he throws a lot of punches. He was really busy last night, which I thought was like, that's what kind of impressed me the most. It's like, he was throwing a lot of punches. Everything had conviction on it. He was really, really hammering to the body. He was really dedicating to the body. And then he went up top because Avanesyan was kind of blocking up there. And that's when he really took apart Avanesyan, and his face was just rearranged. And he took a beating in that fight last night. But I thought he looked great. I thought he looked really good. I thought, most importantly, he even said after the fight, you know, I had some ring rust. He actually admitted to it. A lot of these guys don't admit to that, or they pretend ring rust doesn't exist. He goes, yeah, I'll be dead honest with you. Like, I felt like I hadn't been in the ring in a year, even though I'm in the gym, like, every day. Like, I've heard stories about Boots that he's like a notorious gym rat, like every single day, but that's not the same as being in the ring. So, and he had the big crowd too. Like, this guy has never fought in front of a crowd like this before. I heard from a few people that were there. They said that the crowd was really, really into it. They were really charged up all week long. It was right up there with like the Phillies, everyone being excited for the Phillies because they're playing really well, and Boots Ennis. So, like, the crowd was loud. It was about 15 to 18,000, I think, inside Wells Fargo. That could play into it too, him, you know, being out of the ring, and also him having to feel like he has to perform and give fans a big spectacular knockout, which it wasn't a spectacular knockout. It was more of just a beatdown. And Avanesyan retired on the stool between the fifth and sixth round. Did win my bet. I was texting you last night. I bet 4 through 6 mm-hmm. on a little bit of a hot streak right now. I only put a hundo on it. Should have put way more. But like I thought after the first punch, the first jab, pushed back Evanescine, I was like, oh, man. Is this going to be like a first round stoppage? I could have seen like a second or third, but Evanescine's so tough. Too tough for his own good.
When we were talking during the fight, you said, I was like, I put her on 4 to 6. I'm like, I could see under 3. That's, you know, because we were, again,
it looked like it too.
Yeah, it did look like it. But Evanescine, dude, he's tough and he's durable. He's always showing that. And he showed up. I mean, you got to give it to him. He's a tough out, and he's at a certain level, and this is just a different level for him. But no knock on Evanescine whatsoever. He came in, he fights his ass off every time. So I can tip my hat to him for that. But yeah, Dan, I agree. The boots, and we off air, we were just talking about, what really impresses me is his conditioning. You know, you said he's a gym rat. That's obvious, you know, aside from being able to make the weight, but then also have such endurance and be able to rip off combination. He runs numbers over and over and over again. That sequence that ended the fight right before round four ended? I mean, he was just on fire. He drops Evanescine. Evanescine gets up towards the end of the round, and he just unloads with like 4 or 5, like multiple punch combinations with power. That's hard to do, guys. Guys, someone who's been in the ring, that's really hard to do to be able to rip off shots like that. And you know, he had risen shape. Yeah, dude, we still throwing power shots, and they were all impressive and hard and fast. And at the same time, he was still defensively sound. So that shows next level conditioning, and that's what really impressed me last night when I saw. You know, if I'm gonna harp on any one thing, I'm gonna say it's his size and his conditioning.
Yeah, he threw 65 punches around, consistent. Came out through 70 in the first round, threw 70 again in the third. That's
you know, I love busy guys. You know, I love the busy ones.
That's a big number. And then also, Ennis landed 46% of his thrown combinations. So that's another stat that CompuBox provides. That's the combination stuff. So when he throws his combinations, not only does he throw a lot of combos, Chris, he lands. He's landing 46% when he throws his combinations.
Dan, finding the holes in a guy like Evanescine, who fights with a high guard defense and is normally really good at picking shots off. He's a physically strong guy, so he can take those shots on the arms. So the fact that that Boots is finding holes in that kind of defense, that's impressive as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's next for Boots Ennis? That's the big question. Talking about Terrence Crawford all week long, brought him up in the post fight. It's something that fans have been looking for in 147. Now with Crawford over at 154, finding Madrimov on August 3rd, no easy task there, but that was the name that everyone was saying. Everyone is looking at a Boots versus Crawford fight. Not going to happen at 147, probably going to happen at 154 if it is going to happen at all. I saw Sean Porter say, I don't think Crawford takes that fight. I've seen a lot of people on the Twitterverse saying no way Crawford takes that fight, because what is he going to get out of it besides a really hard fight? And it's not that big of a fight. I don't know, man. I like Boots, but I saw some things where I think Crawford can take advantage of. It's a type of situation, same thing with Canelo and Benavidez. Does Canelo take Benavidez now before Benavidez gets any better? Does Crawford fight Boots next before Boots gets any better? Because Boots does have some vulnerabilities, but he's still damn good, and I think it's a viable fight. I don't think it's like, no one knows Boots. Like a Boots versus Crawford fight would be one of the bigger fights of the year.
And Dan, just a little history for people listening in. This is not uncommon for fighters to take advantage of experience before somebody gets good. You said that a few times. I think of Tito Trinidad fighting Fernando Vargas, getting him early. He did it to David Reed as well. You know, Tito was known for that. He would take on these young studs who are going to be superstars one day. And he would get them early, and he would struggle at times, but he would still get the knockout. And you know, so there is a thought process for that. But I think I agree with Sean. I don't think that Crawford goes for that fight. I don't think there's enough time left in the hourglass of Terrence Crawford's career for Boots to get big enough for that fight to make sense for him. Because he's looking for mega money fights, which I understand. And he's not coming back down to 147, obviously. But, you know, we spoke about how big Boots is. He could easily move to 54. But I don't know, man. I think depending on what happens with this Canelo fight in September, whether it's going to be Eubank or Berlanga, I think that's going to have a big sway on how Terrence Crawford moves. But also it depends how he performs in the Madrimov fight, because that's not an easy fight for him at all.
What do you think is the more interesting fight? What do you think is the more competitive fight? Crawford versus Boots or Canelo versus Crawford?
Oh, Crawford versus Boots, no question. But listen, if I'm Terrence Crawford and I have an option to fight Canelo Alvarez or Boots Ennis, I'm fighting Canelo Alvarez 10 times. I wouldn't lose a bit of sleep over that. I wouldn't blink on that, taking that shot. It's obviously a very different fight, very different weight classes. But dude, guys, age matters. You know, Canelo's 33, 34, you know, Boots, is 27, you know, these young guys, man, it's a different thing. You know, you can fight, an older guy who's going to be bigger and slower and you're going to make 10 times the money. Yeah, it's not really fun.
Well, Crawford's big game fishing. He's making it very, very clear. Turkey and Saudi wants Crawford versus Canelo. Crawford is looking towards Canelo. Benavidez looking towards Canelo. Canelo maybe looking at Crawford, not looking at Benavidez, looking at Eubank, looking at Berlanga. Boots looking up at Crawford. This is how it works. This is how the hierarchy of boxing works. So, yeah, I kind of agree with your assessment there that there's no way. Like, Boots, if he didn't take off so much time, which was not his doing, if he didn't have the contractual dispute that he was in, and he fought maybe two times in the last year rather than zero times, and he just got the proper push because he's 27. So is Shakur Stevenson. Shakur Stevenson has been in the forefront of boxing fans' mind now for 5 years because he had Top Rank and he had ESPN. Boots didn't have that luxury. So yeah, he's kind of like, I wouldn't say starting over Boots, but he's behind it when it comes to marketability. He is 27, and like now Eddie Hearn, it's up to Eddie Hearn and Matchroom to kind of push that, fast forward it, his marketability in that part of his career, which they can do. Matchroom can do that, and they will do that. So I agree that there isn't really enough time to make that into the super duper fight that Crawford is potentially looking for. Crawford will look at the guys at 154. But if Ennis wants to stay at 147, that's what like what I'm thinking about next. Like, what does Boots Ennis do next? Does he stay at 154? Does he stay at 147, where I believe the only real marketable fight and the only competitive fight is the Stanionis fight, who would be a unification bout. The other champions are elevated champs like Mario Barrios and Brian Norman Jr., who is now rumored to be fighting Teofimo Lopez, who had a lot to say last night over at the Top Rank card. So Ennis, is he going to stay at 147 where there are not these huge fights that he could obviously become undisputed if he really wants to put in the time there? Or is he just going to go right to 154 and jump into the deep end and fight some of the bigger, better names at 154?
I hope so. That he stays at 47. I would like him to unify. I think he lost a lot of opportunities because, listen, welterweight has always been a glamour division, right? And we got stuck for a couple years – kind of similar to how we had Mayweather-Pacquiao, you know, where everyone only cared about making that fight happen. That happened with Spence and Crawford as well. And it left guys like Ennis, who are really at that level, just unknown, you know, to the other than the diehards, out in the cold. So I would like to see him get to that level and to take over the welterweight division before moving up. The question is, can he make the weight? I've been saying for the past couple of weeks, I mentioned the promotional arm of Matchroom and how they put these great vignettes together. I'm watching Boots. I'm like, this guy's huge. I'm like, and it seems like he makes the weight okay. He comes in underweight every time. And obviously I talked about his conditioning. So he's making the weight okay now. If he can make it, I think he should stay there and unify.
Yeah. And against Stanionis.
That's a great fight. That's an awesome fight. Stanionis, again, that's a diehard's dream where you get Jaron Ennis and Stanionis right now, where they're both young and in their primes. It's not going to have the huge cross market appeal that you would hope, fine, because they are very good, but that's fine. Exactly. But I think part of building the Boots mystique is going to be him taking the heads of these champions, going around the welterweight division and just snatching belts, because he is that guy. He can be the boogeyman who can go door to door, knock doors, but give me your title.
Gonna have to be. For sure. Like, he's gonna have to do it. He has this year. Like, what fight can he make by the end of this year that's intriguing? And at 147, it's Stanionis. To me, it's Stanionis. Like, you don't have to become a right. It's the best of the options. Mario Barrios is flirting with Pacquiao. We'll get to that in a second. Brian Norman Jr. is with Top Rank. That's not going to happen with Boots, and that's not really a big fight. So he fights Danny Onis, say, in like November-ish, this end of the year, becomes has two belts at 147. It's a legitimate championship at 147. The IBF one he got because Crawford got stripped. It's another fight at 147. Then you can assess the waters. Then you can figure out what's going on. But by then, we should know what Canelo's doing. By then, we should know what Crawford is doing, or if Crawford, what's going to happen with the Majumov fight. By then, we should know about Spence and Fundora, Virgil Ortiz, Tim Zhu. Everyone's going to be it's just the calendar's just going to be moved. The schedule's just going to be moved a little bit further. So, yeah, I think if I could put myself in Eddie Hearn's shoes, and if he's meeting with Boots next week to figure out what they're going to do, it's like, all right, let's go after one of the champs at 147. Let's have another fight there. And that's what Boots has said. He's been very clear that he wants to stay at 147. He said, if Pacquiao's in my way, I'll take him out if I have to. Stanley Onis, I'll fight him. I'll fight Barry. I'll fight anyone they put in front of me that has a belt. So it's very clear he wants to be undisputed. Will he do that? Would be the next thing.
Brian Norman. He's the right guy for that, though, if I do say so myself. I think Eddie is the right guy to do that, though, if you have the right promoter who is willing to work with other people and make fights happen. So, and also, Stanionis seems like
is a free agent.
But also, he seems like he'll fight anybody. You know, he's ready to fight Sergio Ortiz. I mean,
he just keeps getting snake bitten, and he either gets injured or his opponent gets injured. And I'm pretty sure Stanionis is not like linked with PBC anymore. I think that he is open to fight with. He could make a fight with Matchroom, and they could make that easily. Brian Norman Jr. is a name that's been circulating at 147. And the reason I bring it up is because Teofimo Lopez was at the Top Rank card last night in Las Vegas, making his appearances, doing the rounds. And he says that like 140 doesn't, there's nothing for him anymore at 140, even though there is Teofimo. He's like, I want to go to 147. Three division world champ by the age of 27 is what's motivating me right now. Even though Brian Norman Jr., I mean, he's not like a real champ. I mean, it's an interim belt. So it would be another asterisk for Teofimo. But we actually know how Teofimo rolls. Like he wants these accolades, even if they aren't true accolades. So Teofimo could be jumping up to 147 to fight Brian Norman Jr. So that's what's going on at 147. It's just a very strange division right now, where we don't have a real ruler of it. Like, it could be Boots, but there really aren't any other names. Like, some people at 147, like Haney's not going to move up to 147 and fight Boots. Like, none of these guys are rushing to fight Boots. Like, Stanley Onis, I think, might be the only guy that wants to fight him. But Teofimo Norman could happen at the end of the year. They say September at MSG.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that fight makes sense for Teofimo, for him to pick up a third title in a third weight class. I'd rather him stay at 40 and unify. I like unifications. I like when you have a guy who is super talented, like Teofimo Lopez, like a Jaron Ennis in a weight class. And I look at the landscape and I'm like, you can beat these other champions. Why not collect all these belts? Belts matter. Teofimo's a guy who understands that. He's aware of that. But I understand that he's also chasing, you know, the big money mark he fights. I think he's a little young for that. I don't think he needs to be in that mode right now. But listen, he can do whatever he wants with his career. Obviously, he's got two great heads on his record. He's got Lomachenko and Taylor. So, going up to fight Brian Norman, who's not a big well-known guy, but he does have an interim title. You know, there is value in that.
And that Lomachenko win is just looking better and better as Lomachenko has now become like a glorified gatekeeper, like not gatekeeper, but like now if he fights Tank now, that win that Teofimo had in 2020 means a lot more. But just one last
the crazy thing is, I think Loma still beats everyone except for Shakur and Tank. he beats everybody in the division.
You know, Saya, who we saw last night,
definitely beats him.
Yeah, someone said put out a tweet like, "What are your thoughts on this weekend?" Murataya is the lightweight Arnold Barboza.
Ooh.
Kind of, I guess, like a decision guy that doesn't have a lot of power. But to go back, just one last thing on Boots.
Underperformer.
Yes. One last thing on Boots. Critiques. Obviously, we could talk about what he does well, and he wasn't in there with a killer, and his resume isn't the greatest. But what did you see in there? I did see him get tagged a bunch. if you're going to be an offensive fighter, you're going to find yourself in the pocket more. You're going to find yourself squared up a lot more. And then when he was squared up, Evan Nissim was able to get some clean shots on Boots. What's some critiques you took away from Boots' performance?
I only have two. And one, he gets hit too much. But, you know, like you mentioned, he stays in the pocket because he wants to deliver his own damage. But also, he's not a one-punch guy. And I think we saw that last night as well. Like, he beats you up. He breaks you down. And those kind of guys tend to have to be in the pocket. They're going to take more damage. They're going to get hit more. He's not Floyd Mayweather. He's not Shakur Stevenson. He's not a guy who's going to sit there and box. And he's not even like a Terrence Crawford, because Crawford will box until he finds his positioning to let his power go, and he still doesn't get hit. So, but also Terrence has one punch power. He can knock guys out with a single shot. He did it to Avanesian. So that's going to be the knock on him, which it's not a knock, because it's going to make him much more exciting, you know, much more endearing to the fans if he's in the pocket fighting. But also, I will say this, because Boots has never had to worry about anyone who's been in front of him yet. He stays in the pocket because he's not worried about these guys. He's like, this guy, all right,
I felt his power. He's not going to do that against
Crawford. He can't hurt me. He's not going to do that against Crawford. And that's you beat me to my point. What happens when Boots has to box? What happens when Boots can't get hit? Are we going to see him be able to change that gear and do that, which he very well may have that. He very well may have that in his toolbox, where he can be like, hey, listen, all right, I'm not getting hit tonight. So boom, here we go. And the best fighters can do that. So I'm curious to see if he's going to be a guy who's going to, you know, he only has that gear where he stays in the pocket and gets touched. Or if he needs to, he can get on his boxing IQ, use his length, use his speed, use his combinations, use his defense, his reactions. Because then you got a guy who is just multifaceted. He's got it all in.
So Antonio on Twitter says, fans want fighters to be more offensive. And when they are and they get hit, they claim they're not ready for the top guys.
Yeah.
Is trying to please fans impossible?
Yes.
Yes.
Flat out.
Yes. Short answer, yes. What's the long
answer? Short answer, yes. Yeah. Great question. Great construction of the question, but yes. Simple answer.
Yeah. He wanted to hear our long answer, because I said short answer, yes, on Twitter. So do you have a long answer for him?
Long answer is, okay, yeah. So, I mean, basically, it was kind of what I was saying about the knock on Boots. I mean, yeah, he's going to be in there, but it's going to endure him to the fans because he's going to be more exciting. And then people are going to argue that, you know, he's not ready for Crawford because, you know, but again, he might go out there and then be able to box and be able to, you know, switch up the gear. In that case, then we are looking at a legitimate megastar, you know, so.
Yeah, like, it's also just a fan thing, too. It's like, there's no nuance, especially on Twitter, and that's where a lot of these discussions go down. If you had these discussions in person, I feel like there would be a lot more balance, but there is no such thing as nuance on Twitter. So,
right.
Someone's like, oh, Boots gets hit too much, or this guy gets tagged way too much. Like, look, you see how many times he got hit? Like, they pull up the Tank versus Frank fight. They pulled up some moments where Tank was getting hit with shots. I'm like, dude, it's a fight.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go in a pool and not expect to get wet. Like, you're going to get hit a bunch of times. Like, so do we want Shakur style, where he's not going to get hit at all, where he's being ridiculed?
Twitter ridicules him, too. And then Twitter is going to ridicule you either way. They're ridiculing, you know, Shakur for being too defensive. And then when he does actually, because he actually did go to walk down Artem the other day, and he got hit with some shots in between, because that's not really his style. So he's forcing the action for the fans, and they still rag on him. Like, it's tough. I want to talk about my career real quick. I hate bringing up my own stuff, but like when I fought Ruslan, I couldn't get hit by that guy. He broke my face the first time he punched me. So I'm like, all right, I can't get hit with him, so I'm going to box for the rest of this fight. Then I fight Amir Khan, and everyone's like, oh, Chris is going to run. And then I went after him the entire time and pushed the action, backed him up, got him against the ropes, fought in the center of the ring the entire time. You've got to be versatile to be a champion. And that's something, but also to be endearing to the fans. And listen, I got raked over the coals for many fights as well, and that's part of it. So yeah, if you're trying to impress the fans or trying to win everybody's over, you're not going to be successful. It's just not possible.
No, it's impossible. So yeah, exactly. Some fans like certain styles. It seems like fans want more of like Boots' style, but don't say he got tagged. They'll be like, oh, he got hit way too much for my liking. But like, he's gonna get hit. Like that's what's gonna make.
At the end of the day, just win. At the end of the day, you just win. Just win.
Win, baby. Just like Al Davis win. Said, Raiders, just win. Just win. Another name of 147. Yes, coffees for closers. Another name at 147 is a name that we all know, and that's Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao is rumored to be coming back to fight Mario Barrios, who is technically a champion at 147 pounds. Chris, you had an issue with this. You wrote a story on Boxing Scene that I actually read yesterday about Pacquiao, first of all, being 45 years old and should not be taking punishment at his age with the amount of fights that he's been in, and also him just skipping the line and just hopping over every contender at 147 just because he's Manny Pacquiao. Like, there's a lot of issues with this fight. That's what's kind of going on at 147 too, is like Manny Pacquiao looks at this division as like, oh, I can win another title and get another payday.
Yeah, I'm not knocking any man who wants to continue fighting. If that's your own choice, your health is in your own hands. If you want to keep fighting, that's fine. He's 45 years old, sure. But my issue is skipping the line and stepping over all of those other fighters who've been fighting tooth and nail to go up the rankings, to get their position, to get their spot. What happens to all of them? They just have to wait because Manny Pacquiao decided to come off the couch? You know, he hasn't fought in 3 years. And he didn't retire because he was injured. He didn't retire, you know, because he was forced out of the sport. He was retired because he had a poor performance against Ugas.
Yeah.
So how are we expecting him to come back better 3 years later against the guy who beat Ugas up? Like, how does that make sense? Make it make sense, Dan. Make it make sense to me.
Oh, dude, you're trying to have me have the WBC make sense? You're trying to, like, justify that? Like, they are crazy. Like, they literally are.
They shoot themselves in the foot all the time. They want us to take them seriously, and then they do stuff like this.
Right. Like you said in your story, it's like, all right, well, let's look at these ratings, and let's actually go by the ranking system. UFC does it really well, and everyone knows who the top 10 is, and they actually have, you know, 8 fights 7, and then, you know, they go down the list. The second one fights 2, and then they fight the champion. That's a healthy sport in terms of rankings. And WBC wants you to believe that too. Like, I'll go to their rankings and I'll look at them and we'll try to make sense of it, when we all know that doesn't really mean a thing, because they're going to go and do this. They're going to give exceptions to Manny Pacquiao. They're going to give exceptions to Canelo Alvarez. They're going to, you know, toe the line with Ryan Garcia. And then once he says something outlandish, like he did last week with all his racist comments, that's when they're going to expel him. And that's when they're going to say that he needs help. They didn't say that he needed help or anything before that. So it's just like, they can get away with this in boxing. Like, there's no one regulating it. The WC is regulating themselves. That's self-regulation. They're making their own rules as they go along. And someone like Manny Pacquiao can hop in there and jump right over the line into WBC to fight Barrios. And I get it, because it's a business. We always say it's a business before it's a sport. And I'm trying to pull up the WBC rankings here to see who he would be leapfrogging, because there really isn't. Like, I mean, there's not that many guys at 147 right now. Where is it? Welterweight. This is youth. This website is crazy. Can't even get to it. Whatever. Whatever. It's a joke. It's a joke. Manny Pacquiao should not be fighting at age 45. Can he beat Barrios, though?
We talk about the health, though. Like, 45 years old, hasn't been in the ring legitimately with anyone who could damage him in any way, shape, or form for 3 years. And then you're going to jump right into a prime Mario Barrios, who has been getting better. We've said on our show, he's an ever-improving fighter. And, you know, he's I think he's finally found his weight class. He looked really good against Ugas. Ugas is tough. He's tough out for everybody. And Mario looked really good. He was punching hard. He looked physically strong. He had great endurance. He's tall. He's big for the weight class. I was talking about, like, George Foreman. I mentioned that in the article. Like, George Foreman came back and he had like 20 fights before he, you know, vied for a title when he was making his comeback. That's healthy. He's getting his brain used to those shots again. He's back in the ring, getting his timing. And Manny's not a guy. He's not like Floyd Mayweather. He's not going to go out there and box and move. Yeah, he can box. He's very high boxing IQ, but he has to fight. And he's going to have to fight Mario Barrios. He's going to have to fight tooth and nail with that guy. He's just going to get hit. And, you know, I'm more upset about the ranking thing than the health thing, but also health is an issue as well for a 45-year-old man taking shots in the brain.
The Foreman thing is interesting because people forget that he did take that many fights in his comeback. His comeback was insane. He had like 9 fights 1 year, like 25 in total.
Did it the right way.
Before he fought more. Yeah, he actually did. Like, he took his time, which no one has time now. Everyone just wants to jump the line. Like, Barrios is the champion at welterweight. The champion in recess is Crawford. The silver champion is Sisko from France. probably ruined that name. The international champion is a guy I've never heard of.
Cisco. So Cisco.
So he's ranked number one. Number two is Conor Benn somehow. Number three is Mean Machine. Four is Curiel. Jamal James is on this list. Roman Villa. Giovanni Santillan. Alexis Rocha. I understand why Pacquiao can hop to the front of this line because it will generate revenue, but it's not right. But it's boxing. Another old guy got in the ring this weekend. Roman Gonzalez, my age, 37 years old. It took a little bit to get his motor running. He got hit a little bit early on, which usually is the case for Gonzalez. But then he finds that motor. Throws 82 punches around, stops Robert Barrera in a comeback fight, a hometown fight in Nicaragua. He is now looking at some of the names at 118, like a Junto Nakatani. I don't love that. There's a lot of dangerous fighters at 118 right now. I don't want to see Chocolatito get bludgeoned. But
I want the fight.
This is going to end. Right, fight Bam. Bam, not down. You see what Bam has said. Bam has said, or Gonzalez has said, I am now open to making that fight. Like, no duh. Like, people were telling me, I was getting comments nonstop, like, dude, they're friends. They're friendly. They're never going to fight. Like, give me a break.
I'm the resident fighter here.
Money.
You can still fight your friends, especially if you're making a lot of money.
Yes, it's a sport. It's a sport. I know. I understand it's fighting. It's different than any other sport. But it's still competition, and like it's not like they're gonna get in there and rip each other's heads off. There's money on the line.
They are, actually,
yeah,
they are.
But you know what I mean. Like it's all under the guise of this is a competition, like boxing. Like it's still a competition. Like their sparring sessions are supposed to be legendary. So like Bam,
I thought all the sparring partners always trying to rip their heads off. It doesn't matter. It's a fight, dude.
I know I'm speaking from as a guy not in fights, but my point is like you can fight a friend because it is technically a sport. Even though they're trying to rip each other's heads off, it's still a sport.
I think that rounds out Bam in terms of him, you know, collecting all the legends, and I think it's a final payday for Bam. I don't want to see Bam. I'm sorry, a final payday for Chocolatito. I don't want to see Chocolatito and Estrada again. You know, their fights are great, but like, I don't want the one fight that's not great. And it's like, all right, now we're here. Why is Chocolatito back? It's money. You're 37, man. You're first ballot Hall of Famer. You're walking into the Hall of Fame as soon as you retire. You know, he's looking to make money. And I think Bam is going to be the most money he's going to make.
Yeah. I don't want to see him fight Nakatani. I don't think that ends well.
No. Nakatani's bad news, man. He is.
None of the guys at bantam rate right now would match up well with Gonzalez, but that's how Gonzalez. I mean, that's how he is. Like you underestimate him for the last 5 years because
Martinez win was like, oh, the last up. No, he's back.
Right, it's the same narrative before every Chocolatito fight. It's like his age finally going to catch up. He's 37, fighting at freaking bantam weight, which is insane, and he still looks
crazy
good in there.
Unheard of.
Still look 82 punches around, like that's crazy. At that age, he's a marvel. I don't want to see him get bludgeoned, even though I think Bam will do that too. Like Nakatani will probably stop him. There we go again, writing off Chocolatito, which I don't ever want to do.
But also, we're picking up Nakatani. Nakatani's fantastic,
right? And Bam will stop. I think Bam would stop Chocolatito. I don't know. What do you think?
Yes, he should. He should, because I mean, Bam is showing next level finishing ability. And the fact that he finished Estrada the way he did, I don't know why he wouldn't be able to stop Chocolatito. You know, I'm not saying a similar fashion, but at some point in some way.
Anything else this weekend that caught your eye? Scott Nicholson was in action. She looked pretty good in terms of boxing.
Mordecai.
Yeah, Martaya over Tevin Farmer. I thought Tevin Farmer like
looked good.
Gave himself a great account of himself. I mean,
yeah, he looked good. Tevin's still around, man. But also in defense of Martaya, nobody looks good against Tevin Farmer. You know, he's not an easy guy. Jojo Diaz did really well with Tevin. He had him, you know, figured out that night. But I know Tevin had problems with making the weight at that time. He had a lot of other issues going on. Tevin was obviously dialed in and looked good. And Murataya, I think, is maybe not the guy that we really thought he was, or a lot of people were saying he is. But again, to his defense, I mean, it's Tevin Farmer. He's a very slippery guy.
Yeah, that was one of the fights on ESPN. The Janovec fight fell out. Middleweight division couldn't be more down and out right now. There was a lot of people that didn't even know Janovec was fighting.
And that was unification too, Dan.
Apparently it was. It was news.
I guess a guy that he should have smoked, and then, you know, drops the ball right before.
Not good look for Janovec, who's constantly, whoever runs his account, because I don't think it's him, on Twitter, calling people out and saying, come here, and then doesn't make the weight. I hope he's fine. From all accounts, he is fine. Just a case of, you know, dehydration, trying to make the weight. But, you know, he's a guy that has to, you know, talk and call out literally everyone around his weight, because no one really knows who he is. And you go and you don't make the weight at that. Anyway, it doesn't matter if how it went down. You didn't make the weight. And you can't fight. So that's
not a good look.
Tough look for Janovec. And it's another tough look for the middleweight division right now that is just like can't get out of its own way. When you have a guy like Janovec, who is, you know, the guy at middleweight right now, and no one knows who he is. All right, Chris, that is our episode. It was a little bit of a slow weekend. We'll head out to Tampa. Things will start to pick up. August 3rd is right around the corner with Terrence Crawford. What do you got going on this week, my friend?
Nothing, man. I'm awaiting your arrival. I just got my work with ProBox all week. We don't have any fights for a couple weeks. I'm trying to figure out. Might have to skedaddle over to the Tampa side. Go check out my man.
Let me know if you come.
My man Dan. I mean, you're gonna be here for like a week, yeah. Right?
Tampa to Orlando. That's the move. That's the
next. I mean, Orlando's closer. Orlando is closer. Yeah.
I'll be in Orlando for a while, like a week with like 3 days with nothing to do.
Text me your schedule so I have an idea of I'll try and look around and see if I can.
Might go to Universal Studios. Might not. Might just sit at the pool at the resort and just work on my tan. It should be a good one. All right, everybody. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs unless you have something for me to do in Orlando, Florida. Good night.